Welcome to your diary episode. Here's the thing, I'm a bit of a nomad, so these episodes come to you from wherever I'm living or travelling to at the time. So I'll share with you what's going on in my world, from book tours, animal encounters, delish meals, nature adventures, health discoveries, to swimming in hidden Byron Bay beaches. Come with me as I share my adventures with you. Hello and welcome to your diary pod, coming to you from beautiful Los Angeles. This is a really exciting podcast today. I have got some fun stuff to update you on and tell you about. I also am going to change the format just a pinch. We're just going to end with like an awesome, inspiring Hollywood quote. I figure while we're here, why not? So I've got one for you ready to go. I'm just going to run through what's happened in the week for people that are new to the diary pod. This is a lot more freestyle-y versions, and it's more about like a week in the life of wherever I am in the world at the moment. And at the moment, and for a big part of this year, it is beautiful Los Angeles as I try to chase the dream over here in the entertainment industry. So each week I'll be sharing with you the wins, the losses, the trials, the tribulations, and everything in between. And on Monday's episode, it still feels like failing. The premise of that is interviewing a guest. So the Monday that's just gone, we had Sally O'Neill, aka the Fit Foodie. What a legend. If you're into health and nutrition, which you may or may not know is my background, then that episode is for you. She really deep dives health, nutrition. Trigger warning, we do talk about eating disorders and orthorexia in that pod. And it's just a really good one for health nerds, because I sometimes get feedback which is like, Lolly, you get actors on and directors and producers, but where's all the health stuff? So that is a health episode for you. Who have I got? I may not have picked next week's guest. So what I did was, when I was back in Australia, I got really ahead. Here we go. Here's all the apps. I got super, super, super ahead. Ooh. So there's two that it'll be between. I haven't decided yet, so I'm not going to divulge. But it'll either be an entertainment-based one or another health kind of based one. One was recorded in Sydney, one was recorded in Melbourne. So basically I recorded probably in the next three episodes on Mondays will be pre-records from either Melbourne or Sydney. And I've got a guest coming on this weekend, for a local Los Angelian. And then I've got another guest that's been recorded in Los Angeles next week as well. So I'll start to intertwine them into the Monday eps as well. And then this is really, really, really exciting, but very, very soon there is going to be a special launching on Fearlessly Failing on Wednesdays. So we haven't totally figured out the launch date yet. We have got over half of the series in the can. And so we just want to wait until it's like absolutely perfect to launch it, so that it is seamless for you, the listener. But it's really exciting. It's all recorded here in Los Angeles, the land of dreams. And it's completely different to your Monday Fearlessly Failing and your Friday Diary. So those two will continue and stay the same. This is a special series. So this will be like an eight-parter where, yeah, there's a special coming, which is really exciting / nerve-wracking and / I forgot how much work pods are. I was like, whoa, this is like a full-time job. But it's really exciting and really fun. So I feel like I've done all the housekeeping stuff. Let's talk about the week that was. As you know, I'm in improv school. We're kind of getting more and more time each week where we were just like thrown straight into it, up on stage. We basically have the same warm-up every week, which is called Zip Zop Zap, which is literally you send a Zip Zop Zap across the room to other actors. You're all standing in a circle. And then you've got the option to like boing, bridge, or highway, which are like add-ons that make it really hard. But it's very much, for people listening that have done drama before or drama school, it's very much a theatre sports kind of game. And you're up on your feet and you've got to be like quick in the mind, and it's really cool. Should I say this? I'm sure I can say this. I, after Saturday's class on the weekend, I'm interviewing my improv teacher, which is really exciting. So I want to share with you the rules of improv, because before I started training in improv, I found it kind of hard to find the rules. Like, I'd heard about yes and I'd heard about, oh, there are these specific rules to improv, but I hadn't really come across anywhere where they were really succinct, and I hadn't read an improv book before this either. So I'm hoping that by having my teacher on the pod, we can get these amazing improv rules, because they're so good to implement into everyday life, I think. Next up, okay, so you know I share with you the shows I'm obsessed with, 1883, which is the prelude? Like, it's the origin story of Yellowstone. Literally rewatching it again for the second time because I'm so obsessed, and I love, love, love the soundtrack, the actors. They've all got this amazing, like, southern accent. It's got this real, like, heartbreak, and it's, oh, so earthy. The accent's amazing. I wish I could do a good southern. I've really got to work on that. But you don't audition much in a southern here. I've been auditioning a fair bit, and you will audition in general American, and then I'll always put up an audition in my Australian as well. So southern is a bit more fun. It's much more specific. And obviously an American is generally going to be better than me at a southern, because they can understand, like, the twang and, like, the diphthongs and, like, where to eat. Like, for me, I feel like the southern accent, like, has all these amazing, but it feels like it's kind of stretched out and it's kind of slower, you know, and they kind of drop the "aw." Oh, there's this kind of breathy, like, there's like an air to a southern accent, but it also feels a lot like heartbreak. Anyway, so there's my attempt, but yeah, I love it. I love the accent. But there's another show I've been getting into, and that's what I was actually having notes to talk to you about. It's on the same network that I watched 1883 on. It's actually called The Offer, and it's about the behind the scenes of The Godfather and how it almost never became the iconic movies that it became, because the Italian mafia tried to stop it, and Frank Sinatra was really anti it. And I'm describing it as a docu-series, but it's not. Like, it is set in, like, on the Paramount lot in the 50s. It's like, there's comedy, there's drama, the cast is amazing, the accents are amazing, but because it's set in that, it wouldn't even be set in the, I think it was shot in 1972, so it would be set late 60s. So can you imagine all that amazing costume and, like, seeing the Paramount lot in the late 60s and all the cars? It's really cool. So that's called The Offer. Totally just watch the trailer and see if it's your vibe. But it's a real nod to, like, old school Hollywood, which is fun, because the last time we had a show like that was Ryan Murphy's Hollywood, which is kind of that post – yeah, it was post-World War II vibes. So this is kind of in that same, in the next kind of era. Oh, I'm not really good with dates, but I feel like post-World War II would have been like late 40s, I think. And then this is set late 60s. But, like, the costume, the cars, the feel of it, even the music is set to the era as well. So it's a lot of fun. And then as a result, please don't judge me here, but I'd never seen The Godfather. And I told my dad, and he's like, you know, we had the box set at home the whole time you lived at home. And I was like, oh, I think I did know that. Anyway, I've since gone back and watched The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2. Holy mackerel, talk about heartbreaking. There is this bit that I love, though, in Part 1. I don't think I'm giving anything away, but is it Mickey, Al Pacino's character, Mickey or Mike? He has to flee America because he's kind of, like, sought justice for the person that's tried to top his dad, Marlon Brando. And he's fleeing and he's hiding in, I think, a part of Italy. And he has this, like, thunderbolt love moment with this character called, I want to say, Apollina. And, like, their love, it's like a montage scene of, like, 3 minutes, and their love is epic. And I must say, that was probably my favorite bit. I was just like, the love is amazing. Anyway, I then obviously stuck with it and watched the whole of the movie and the second movie. And I was like, there is, like, a lot of tragedy and heartbreak and Full on. I call my boyfriend, who's also Italian. He's actually Matt Bosso, is first generation Australian. So his whole family until him and his sisters were all born in Italy. And I was like, is this really what it's like? And he's like, that's the mafia, Lola. That's not like an Italian family. And I'm like, I know, but there's so many similarities. Like family is number one and a dinner table is like this passionate, loud, exciting place. And he's like, well, yeah, that is like quintessentially Italian. But yeah, really, really cool. So The Offer, I would highly, highly recommend it. Oh my God, I have the funniest audition story for you. Okay. Not a word of a lie. This audition comes in. So basically I've been in America. No one tells you any of this stuff. I have a real gripe that when you finish drama school in Australia, you're kind of like left to your own devices. Like if you're lucky enough to get a manager, well, great for you. But like I couldn't get an acting manager. So to be clear, like acting management is very different to like the normal stuff that I do, you know, with the books and emceeing and speaking gigs and tally and all that, because that's like as me, Lola, whereas acting is you're acting. And so I couldn't get a manager until I think I got a manager when I moved to Byron in Australia, that is. And anyway, I didn't get many auditions. I had no success as an actor at all in Australia, like actually zero. And I think there's this massive disconnect between drama school and like actually getting out there as an actor and auditioning and like being in casting rooms and kind of like making it. And the thing in America is you can self-submit. So that means put yourself forward for auditions. So there are three online casting websites here that are quite different to Australia. So we have two or three big ones in Australia. They don't convert to America, so no one told me. I just was like, oh, I'm on this one in Australia. That's just going to naturally convert here. No. So I had to like build a whole new profile, even though the online company was the same. Also, no one tells you they're archaic. Like they feel like they were built in 1996, all of these online. So you kind of get your head around the format and like the back end of these online platforms. But once you do, it's just like learning a new platform, right? So I've been self-submitting. So basically putting myself forward for auditions from like what I do yesterday. I did an audition for Nike. I did an audition for Silicon, Skin Patches. So this is all commercial auditions. Don't think I've done any for TV yet. Anyway, this audition comes through and it says we're looking for Kristen Bell comedic vibes. And I was like, oh, I think I can do this. I'm reading it down. And I'm like, okay, it's a deodorant company. I think great, 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 great. Anyway, and then I'm like reading further down. I was like, oh, this is vagina deodorant. And I was like, okay, 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 okay. And the lines are like super funny, like, I'm your fanny godmother, like funny, but hard to not laugh when you're recording. Anyway, so whenever I learn a script, I get it printed off down the street and then I like make all my like acting choices on it, even if it is an audition for vagina deodorant. Anyway, and I go to the printing shop and this guy opposite me hands me my script and I was like, oh, are you laughing at my accent? He was laughing. I was like, are you laughing at my accent? And he's like, no. I was like, oh, okay. Didn't think anything about walk out. And then I was like, oh my goodness, he was laughing at the script. How funny. They must read everything that gets sent to them. Anyway, funny. I put the audition in. So another thing I didn't know until like I started figuring out auditions, but you basically put a slate in and that's where you're like, g'day, my name's Lola Berry. I live in Los Angeles. What else do I usually say? I say I'm Australian, but I've got a green card, all that kind of stuff, right? So you kind of make yourself highly employable. And then sometimes they'll ask you to answer questions in your slate. Like I did an audition for a yoga company the other day and I was like, I've done 700 hours of yoga teacher training and, you know, I'm trained in vinyasa and how that is. So sometimes there'll be a question that needs to be answered. And then you put your audition up. So that's the sides. The sides are your script. So then you put your audition up. So because I'm auditioning in America, I do an American slate, an American audition, and then I do an Australian slate and an Australian audition. So I just do both. I'm like, well, you never know. Like, they might be like, actually, this feels cool as an Aussie. Anyway, so that was literally the first, like, official learning the script audition that I put up. Very different. It was a bit different to self-submitting, like, oh, here's, oh, I can promote this chocolate company. It, like, there was a script to learn. Anyway, very, had to share it with you. Want to be honest about where I am in my LA career. Okay. Oh, okay. Also, I'm sure you know this, but CBD is legal here in the state of California. And a mate of mine gave me CBD to try, but specifically one for creativity and inspiration. I don't know that I'm a CBD girl. Boss loves like the medicinal CBD. He's like super, super pro. I don't know that I like it. So yeah, I felt like a little bit inspired, but nothing. And like obviously super chill. But the only thing that annoyed me about it is like you get so snacky like 2 hours later. So I don't know, jury is out for me. But this was a specific one that was about creativity and inspiration. And because it's massive here, like there are CBD shops all over California. I still haven't been into one yet. I've got to. I'll tell you all about it. But yeah, jury is out for me on that one. Okay. Okay, so yes, I went for a walk with my friend. I want to say we've just become friends, by the way. Ran into each other at the nail store, and I want to say Ariel, but it's not Ariel. It's Ariel. I just did it right. And we ran into each other getting our nails done. She's like, do you want to go for a hike? And I was like, fuck yeah. So we're both Aussies, PS. That's how we've become friends. Just like, this is kind of like our first hang. Anyway. We met to do this hike closer to her place, and as we're hiking, walking past all these beautiful Hollywood homes, she's like, do you want to see the murder mansion? And I was like, oh, yep. So yesterday she took me to this Los Feliz murder mansion. I was nervous but excited. You know that feeling? You don't go on like it's all like gated. Or it's all like there's barbed wire and shit. You can't get on the – it's like private property. You can't get on it. Anyway, the story, so it's built in 1925. It's a 1920s mansion. P.S., if you want me to deep dive this a bit more, I know that there are like podcasts on this and documentaries on this and there's heaps of YouTube vids on this. If you want to know more and you want me to like deep dive it, just tell me and I will. I'll give you like a quick like 3-minute synopsis of the story. So the house was built in 1925 for about $20,000, but that'd be like over $300 US today. So convert that to Australian, over $450,000 to build it. So it's this beautiful 20s Spanish revival mansion. And anyway, one night at Christmas time, this doctor comes home. He's a cardiologist. His name's Dr. Harold Pedersen. Comes home and he murders his wife with a ball peen hammer. And then he goes into his daughter's room, who's 18, her name's Judy, and she kind of wakes up to a glimmer of the hammer and because the streetlight was coming through the door. Anyway, through the window, and he goes for her, hits her head, she screams, runs. There's two other kids that wake up with the commotion and he's like, you're in a nightmare, like, don't, like that's what he said to the little kids. They all get out of the house, the kids, wife's dead. Then he goes to the bathroom and takes Nembutal and kills himself. And so this is where it gets really creepy. So it was Christmas time, it was like December 6th at like 4:30 a.m. 1959. Someone buys the house and literally leaves it 100% as is for 60 years. Christmas presents still wrapped. They don't inhibit the house, these people that buy it. So that's what's really super eerie about it. Anyway, if you want me to deep dive it, tell me and I will. But even as I'm saying it to you right now, I'm sweating because it's like fucking scary. But LA has kind of got all these stories. Like we know the Sharon Tate story and then we know that like didn't Marilyn Manson then hire that house out to record a Nine Inch Nails album in the house that she was murdered in. And like, that's eerie. But also apparently, I remember Matt's really into music history and stuff. And apparently Sharon Tate's sister confronted Marilyn Manson and was like, why did you do that? And he has said in interviews, like, yes, in hindsight, I did the wrong thing. But I think he took something. Like, I think he took something from the house, like a door or something, because he wanted, like, memorabilia. I'm pretty sure that place has since been demolished. But, yeah, LA's got all this spooky kind of history. Like, when I look at I love podcasts, so I often listen to podcasts set in Hollywood, and most of them about, like, the hauntings of Hollywood or the murders of Hollywood, or it's all very scary and very very, very, very eerie. In fact, like, one of my textbooks when I was studying at Ivana Chubbuck School here was written by a 70s detective. It's called Mindhunter. It's what the Netflix show is based off. I've actually done a book review on this diary episode for you of it. And it'd be a little while back now, it'd be a Byron diary episode. And it's amazing, but like, there's so many stories about like the 70s and 80s in Los Angeles. And like, a lot of murder and a lot of really spooky stories. Oh, so spooky, but so fascinating. Okay, so food review time, you can hear. I've been trying to find healthy stuff, guys, because you know how I think I told you I had a week where I was like in and out. Sorry, just having a swig of my Lola coffee. I found this coffee creamer at Trader Joe's that I was going to tell you about anyway, but I'll tell you about it now. It's an oat milk coffee creamer. So coffee creamer here is different to adding like a splash of milk. Like, it actually gives it like a creaminess. Like, you just add a splash, but it feels like you're kind of having a latte or something. Anyway, it's really yum. And the flavor is brown sugar flavor. Can you imagine? Anyway, so I've added that to my little coffee. So good. Okay. Healthy snacks and stuff I've tried since I spoke to you last. There's a brand here, and I've told you about it before, La Canto, sugar-free chocolate, monk fruit sweetened. I tried this last time I was here, and I remembered loving it. It's with almonds, 55% cacao, 3 net carbs, keto, vegan, no sugar. I think they use erythritol and monk fruit, basically. Anyway, it wasn't good, and it was total, maybe because it is the word bloomed when the chocolate has gone all yucky. The ingredients: unsweetened chocolate, non-GMO Lanakato monk fruit sweetener, which does have erythritol in it, tapioca, fiber, almond, acacia gum, natural flavors, sea salt, sunflower, lecithin. Didn't rate it. Also didn't rate this next one, Trader Joe's. Sugar-free, no trans fats, gluten-free. The brand Simply Light dark chocolate confectionery with almonds. Not good. It's basically like dark chocolate, but like, it's like eating chalk. Not nice. Organic Reese's Buttercups. Oh, I feel like I'm giving very negative reviews right now. These were not great either. So they're like a Reese's Buttercup, but lower in cal, I think, and everything's in it organic. Didn't taste great. I'd rather get the real thing. Oh, this brand. So I've talked to you about Lily's chocolate before. This is a milk chocolate style peanut butter cup sweetened with stevia, and it's 40% cacao. I remember thinking this one was okay. Okay, so that one's okay. Oh, yes, I tried this. A cookie that is Hawaiian keto macadamia white chocolate. This was yum. 5 grams of protein, 0 grams of sugar, 1.5 gram of net carb, and gluten-free. So this is using that allulose in it, and it was really nice. It was just a very small cookie for $3.99 US, which is like $5.50 Australian. What are they sweetening with? They're using this chicory inulin. Yes, it's got the allulose, almond flour. Like, it's pretty clean. And how much? We've got zero sugars. Yeah, I might get that one again. But it felt a bit expensive. I tried a different green juice. You know, I get the Monster greens usually when I go to Lassen's, which is like my local version of Whole Foods. But I tried this and it was really yum. The alkalizing tonic, organic barley pear, organic cucumber, organic kale, organic spinach, organic aloe vera, and chia seeds. So that was kind of like really yummy and kind of filling because of the chia seeds. you know the best chocolate I like is the cookies and cream white chocolate Lily's. I think last week I tried the birthday cake one, also white chocolate base. Wasn't that great? The winner is 100% that cookies and cream one. I've taken some photos of some other stuff I've tried. Okay, so you know the milk that we've got in Australia, the oat milk called Oatly, they have ice cream here. And I was like, I've seen it and what looked at it so many times. I'm like, don't do it, Lola, don't do it. Anyway, I did it once. So there's like vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. I tried strawberry. It was good. It doesn't taste too overly sweet, like sickly sweet at all. I did have it in one sitting as well, which I could have easily had it over three. Here I've got the non-dairy oat creamer. The flavor is brown sugar. It's really yummy. It's from Trader Joe's. That's what I was telling you. I've added that to my Lola coffee. I tried a healthy, clean, plant-based, non-dairy ice cream, and the brand is called Doozy Pots, and the flavor is banana and cinnamon date as well. So this was definitely very clean, but really, really yummy. And it's made from hemp milk and oat milk, and it does have a little bit of sugar in there, but it was pretty. It's probably the cleanest of like the ice cream vibes that I've found here. Oh yes, I've had my favorite taco Mexican salad since I last spoke to you. Okay, so the best American treats by a country mile are pumpkin pie. So Air One sells the best pumpkin pie. You can get three different types. You can get a raw vegan gluten-free one. You can get just a normal gluten-free one, or you can get the deep dish with the graham cracker crust. All of them are 10 out of 10. And then I did try pecan pie, a slice of that. Oh my God. They're my two favorites, I think. I know that sweet potato pie is like a big thing here too. I've never tried it. So they're all the food things I took photos of you for. Because like now I've just started taking photos so I don't forget anything. The next thing I wanted to do is end on a really inspiring quote. So I found this page on Insta. They're called Actors Kit. I think they're based here in Los Angeles. Anyway, they posted this quote of Clint Eastwood, legend. Respect your efforts. Respect yourself. Self-respect leads to self-discipline. When you have both firmly under your belt, that's real power. Love that. I really, 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 really like that. So I shared that on my Insta as well. But I thought I'm going to end my LA diaries with a little Hollywood quote for you each week. So this week was Clint Eastwood. I hope you love this chat and review. And remember, we've got some really exciting stuff launching here on Fearlessly Failing over the next couple of weeks. So I really hope you come along for the journey. Sending you mega love. And remember, always chase the big scary dreams. Bye.